BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived. Always liked the good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room. How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. To the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run
with your host.
Yeah, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah, kitty, kitty.
Got to say, please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Now, I've heard it said a few times by a couple of different people that maybe I have a big ego. As good as I am, I should have the biggest ego on the planet. Hell, after all, I am that damn good.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
As I lay me down to sleep, lay me down, I pray my soul is mine to keep. My soul can never step outside this bed. Never into all the evil.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. And also the very fine folks over at Gerwick.net. If you're listening to us there, hello. And if you're listening to us elsewhere, whether it be WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.net.
What?
And any of them.
Hold on. Hold. RackRadioShow.com.
Com. I'm sorry. God, I can't even get my plugs right. RackRadioShow.com. Hello.
God, you can't even get your own website correct. God.
No, I can't. I'm such a bad host. I'm a horrible host. And, by the way, I'm Lindsay. He's Rock. We're here. This is The Rack. It's Thursday night on this fine March 24th. And before we get into everything, it's somebody's birthday.
Whose birthday is it?
It's the one, the only, the man who will be defending Vince's honor inside Hell in a Cell in exactly almost 1 week, The Undertaker. So happy birthday to Taker. He got a Hell in a Cell-themed birthday cake.
Happy birthday, Vince's bitch.
Really?
What?
Really?
What?
Don't call him that at home.
Oh, at home. So where do we call him that?
Work.
Work. Okay, he's Vince's bitch at work, but at home, he's, hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
Hi. I'm Mark Calloway. Yes. Hey, the birthday cake said Mark. Just saying.
It did say Mark. The birthday cake did indeed say Mark on it. So
I'm personally jealous because he got a Hell in a Cell thing birthday cake. Did you see that thing? It was sick.
It was sick.
It had him on it, for the love of Christ. And like, he's on top of the cell, which he should never do.
Well, it's a throwback cake. It's Throwback Thursday.
Hashtag Throwback Thursday.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
There it is. There it is. Get his soundboard warmed up. There it is.
It's all warmed up now.
Okay.
Because you know, it's Taker's birthday. Now it's warmed up.
Now it's warmed up. He's growled. Now he's good to go. So, happy birthday, Taker. We all love you. Please don't die on next Sunday.
And don't kill Shane. We
and
like
don't
Shane.
Kill Shane.
We like Shane.
We love Shane. Don't, just like Mame. Mame. Mame is good. Mame is good.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Same for you, Shane. Mame is good. Just remember, he's of an advanced age now.
Right. We don't need any.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Damn right we don't.
We don't need any of that when it comes to Taker. That doesn't need to happen. Just pointing that out.
Yes, exactly, because I don't want to read that. Anyway, we have a lot to get into tonight. We have news, we have NXT, and well, we've been promising we're going to get hardcore.
We're hardcore. We're hardcore. We're hardcore.
And as always on this show, we deliver. I'm going to try and say this right on the first try. God help me. We have the man, the myth, the legend, the voice of House of Hardcore, the amazing Vic Travagliante later in the show.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. First shot. I'm so proud of myself. No, you don't, because I was literally practicing his name all day. Today, too. To make sure I got it right for him.
Because you have to say it about, like, 4 more times tonight.
Yeah, because I have to say it 4 more times, and I will inevitably screw it up on one of those times.
He joins us at the end of the show.
Yes, he's joining us at the end of the show. We're talking all things House of Hardcore. We're talking NFL. We're talking a little WWE. It's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it. He's a great guy and a House of Hardcore original.
That he is.
Got to pimp that out.
Yes.
But I say we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at pwmania.com and tnasylum.net. What do you think?
That sounds good to me. Where do you want to start this week?
Well, there's a lot of really big news, but I think we need to start first with a correction from last week, just to get that out there. It was reported by TMZ last week that Sting is retiring. Apparently, that is not the case. Sting has denied that rumor. He came out and said that his neck feels fine, that he's ready, willing, and able if anybody asked. So there's a little contradiction there. We will have to see what the real story is, if there is one.
TMZ reported it. TMZ then did the follow-up. You have to wonder what is what.
Yeah, it's when TMZ breaks it, you tend to believe it a little bit more because it's TMZ.
Right, and
they generally fact check their stuff.
My gut tells me he was not ready to announce that decision. Maybe that was a Hall of Fame thing, and maybe he does want to have one more match. He doesn't. The thing is, he did an interview with WWE.com. He doesn't deny really anything that they brought up. He doesn't deny that he has what we talked about last week—the diagnosis with his neck. He doesn't die. Doesn't deny it, but he says he feels good, and if called upon, he would have one more match. And he only wants one more match.
He wants Taker.
He wants the birthday boy, Taker. That's what he wants. I guess he's always leaving that door open.
Yeah, because I think they offered him Taker, and Taker said, or they offered Taker Sting, and Taker said no.
Maybe. I don't think they want put, again, we talked about this last week, his age. They don't want to put him back in the ring, especially after he got hurt.
Because he's 56 or 57, because he just had a birthday, too.
He did just have a birthday. So it's like, maybe we should be careful with who we put in the ring, and with Sting, be careful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like I said, I don't expect him to go to Joe Schmo indie show and wrestle. You just don't see that. If he does, great, but he doesn't need the money, so he's not going to go wrestle in the Joe Schmo indie show, so... We'll see.
Yeah, very, very interesting. But we just wanted, before we jump into the major news this week, to go ahead and get that corrected right off the bat.
And I can tell you this week, next week, we'll probably re-correct the correction.
Probably.
Or in 2 weeks. We'll see.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. We'll see. We'll just have to see how it goes. But yeah, so definitely wanted to get that taken care of for everybody. Now we're going to talk about some of the real news. And I think we have to talk about one of the big stories, because we'll get to Hogan in a minute. We're going to talk about Hogan, too. But we got some relatively shocking news coming out of TNA this week, and I want to start with this, just because, to me, it's big. It's huge.
This is brought to us by our friends over at TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans.
Ding! Yes, sorry, hit that plug. Sorry, guys. And that is the 2 very long-time, long-term TNA employees left in Eric Young and Bobby Roode.
They came in 2004. They signed on the same day together. They came down to be a part of Team Canada, and fitting enough, they left on the same exact day. In fact, here's a tidbit. Bobby Roode signed his contract on the back of Eric Young.
Canadians, man. Canadians.
It's the bonding they go through.
It's the bonding. But yeah, I mean, and now you fast forward 12 years, and both of them are gone.
It's a big shock.
It's a big shock because out of everybody that you figure that would have left, like, I could see Bobby. I could see Bobby. That wasn't what was really as shocking as Eric Young, because he has been a TNA loyalist from day one. He's defended that company to the death and back. And it's just really shocking to see that Eric Young is done with TNA.
Oh, yeah. It's really extremely shocking to see both of them gone. Eric Young, he, as she mentioned, basically defended their TV situation till he was blue in the face on Twitter and on interviews. It's like, there's nothing wrong. We have TV. You guys are wrong. Yada, yada, yada. He would defend them. But now it's like, well, you defended them, you defended them, you defended them, and now you leave. Because the way he puts it, if it wasn't was a good situation, why would I leave? It just shows TNA is not a good situation, and I know now people on all the TNA wrestlers will go, but it's a great situation. Morale is great, because that's their defense. We have to prove the internet wrong that our morale is great. That's what they do. Bobby Roode's over money. Eric Young is probably over money as well, because they both see TNA giving guaranteed contracts to different talent. And for Bobby Roode, he was the highest paid contracted talent, guaranteed contracted talent, sans Kurt Angle or Jeff Hardy last year. That's a big deal. And then he was offered, I believe, 6 months at his current rate or something to that effect, but and then they would renegotiate, yada, yada, yada. They wouldn't offer him what he had originally, which for him sucks, because he probably deserves to be one of the higher paid guys because he's been there so long. But TNA's financial situation is like, they don't have the money to go, here's a blank check, fill out what you want at this point. It doesn't work like that for them anymore. Especially when you're guaranteed money to people. It's like, and for Bobby Roode, he's done everything. At this point, it's like, what else is there for Bobby Roode to do? He was back in a tag team with James Storm.
Yeah, Bobby Roode's kind of an unfortunate situation because he really priced himself out of his next deal. Because he was an in-demand guy. He was one of the highest paid talents in TNA at one point. He was their world champion. He was the man. And then he steadily sort of written himself into this corner where he's now back in a tag team with James Storm, who's back and getting guaranteed money. And I think Storm is getting $100,000 a year for 2 years. Is that what it was?
I think it was $200,000. Per year or something to that effect? I don't know, it was something like that.
Storm got a pretty sweet deal.
He got double whatever WWE was offering. I think that's the best way to put it. Double whatever WWE was giving.
But Bobby had to see that and go, well, wait a minute.
So this is what they're offering? I can work on a different stage? 39, I have one chance to really, if I'm going to do it, and if there's an opportunity, I might as well try and see if there's a door there?
Yeah, because I think it's always been Bobby's intention to move on and try his hand at a bigger stage, but he just hasn't either been inclined to get there, or TNA has kept him happy enough to where he doesn't want to get there, that TNA was growing. And that's the thing for a lot of these guys, that you have to feel really bad for them, because they stuck it out with TNA. They really believed in it, and they really wanted to make it something, and so they've stayed there their whole careers, some of them.
Oh yeah.
To build TNA into something, and now it's just kind of in shambles. And you know they're all looking at it going, crap, because...
Go ahead.
Because, like, guys like Bobby Roode, you know, Bobby's 39 years old. He's been there 12 years. And it's just, he's watched it go from its highest high to its lowest low. And it's just, for him, you know, it's got to be heartbreaking. And he's probably looking over at NXT, and he's seeing guys like AJ Styles and Austin Aries and Samoa Joe and nameless other people going over to NXT or going to Japan or going to ROH or going anywhere and making way more money and getting way more attention than what TNA is getting.
Yeah.
And also, they're getting paid on a regular basis, because that's the other flip side of this, is the trick to this is they're offering these guys guaranteed money, right? We run, you get paid. Whether you're there or not, we cut you a check.
Eventually.
But they have to be running.
Yes.
And that's the problem, is it's a great deal if you can get it, if they're running shows. But if they're only running shows once every 2 to 3 months, then what do you do in the meantime?
What are you doing? What are you doing for 6 weeks? If you're a professional wrestler, are you going to sit on a shelf for 6 weeks? I don't think so. That kind of makes you stale. And guys like Bobby Roode, who doesn't work many indies, though he's working House of Hardcore in May 7th. He doesn't work many indies. Eric Young doesn't work many indies. He's now taking indies. It's like, for James Storm, who has the guaranteed contract from TNA, it's like, James Storm hasn't worked an indie in years. And now may have to be forced to if he wants to get his guaranteed money.
I think he's working Cookeville for GFW, but yeah, I mean, it's something of these guys, and what's really ironic about this is Eric Young, the last time, because EY's actually left before.
Over a contract dispute.
over a contract dispute, so this is not the first time EY has left. But when he came back, part of the dispute was they would not allow the talent to book their own indies. It was all controlled by TNA, and TNA took a cut of whatever they made because TNA booked them out. Because at some point, the talents became exclusive because back in the day, you worked for TNA, but you also did indies and you traveled around. And these guys and these girls all have their favorite promoters. They all have the places that they started, and they all do promoters a favor, especially in Tennessee, with the Tennessee wrestling scene. That's how it all works, is everybody kind of scratches everybody's back, but doesn't.
Right.
And so for guys like Storm and EY and even Rude to an extent, it's they go work their favorite promoters and they get paid, and that they would always be able to get bookings through their favorite promoters. Well, TNA started saying, well, no. We're going to control who you get booked through.
Right. And that's when TNA was working a lot of shows.
Yeah, and so Eric Young didn't like that, and he didn't like them taking a cut, because basically he didn't get control over it, and so he left in a contract dispute, and that's how he actually got the deal of being able to, one, take it. Actually, I think at that point, I don't think they were even allowed to take any bookings. I think they were telling him they couldn't take any bookings.
Right.
I think that's what that was, but Eric was able to take indie bookings, he was able to seek outside projects, he was able to really do whatever he wanted to do, and that's the deal that he's had going forward, and that's what allowed him to do his fishing show, and that's what's allowed him to do a couple other things, is that contract. And they kind of offered him the same thing, but it was really more of a free agent status, but he's kind of to the point where I was like, no, kind of want to explore my options.
Yeah, he just signed a new contract with them, he was all set to go, and then just sort of thought about it, and a lot of things weren't going the way he had hoped, and you know, at some point you have to cut ties, you have to move on, you have to do something different, you have to grow as a performer, and that's what he wants to try to do. Eric Young is 36, Rude is 39. This is their, if they're going to make their big money, this is their opportunity. Going back to Rude, there was a pay-per-view, don't remember when, but it was like two, three, four years ago. Remember when there was this big rumor that it was probably a March pay-per-view, because this is when his contract usually comes up. That, where's Bobby Roode? Why isn't Bobby Roode at the pay-per-view? Where's Bobby Roode?
No. I tell you what it was. It's Bound for Glory.
Was it Bound for Glory?
It was Bound for Glory.
Okay.
Remember? It was Bound for Glory, and nobody knew where Bobby was, because I think his contract was in dispute at that point. I think it had either was expiring, or it had expired, and he hadn't resigned yet.
Right. There was a pay-per-view. I don't remember what year.
It was, I want to say it was 2012 or 2013.
Okay.
It wasn't that long ago.
Right. Yeah, it was one of those pay-per-views. And the point is, back then, many people thought, okay, Bobby Roode's jumping to WWE at this point. He's jumping. He's going. And it's like, my point is, if NXT was what it is today, two, three, 4 years ago, Bobby Roode would have jumped to WWE. But there was because WWE was all against not booking TNA guys on their shows. But if they had NXT like they do now, and they're bringing all this talent in, Bobby Roode would have left TNA 3-4 years ago.
Yeah,
in the prime of his career.
Yeah, agreed. And he would have taken the shot. We'll have to see what he does. He's kind of an unknown. He's not really making a lot of comments on the situation, which is Bobby. He's pretty quiet.
He's going to see what's out there. That's the deal. He's going to see what's out there.
EY's made some other comments. Basically, it was not a happy parting based on everything he said. He's not bashing the company. He's not sending any ill will to the company, but he made a very ringing comment, which is, you don't get divorced because you're happy. So there was definitely tension and problems there. And at this point, I say more power to him.
Oh yeah. More power to him. Very much power to him.
You know what? If you can go make more elsewhere, do the thing.
You gotta support your family. You gotta support your future family. You do it. You make the money.
So, best of luck to Bobby, and best of luck of Eric as they move forward. I think Eric's got some stuff in the works, so hopefully we'll be talking about that relatively soon. But as some talents leave TNA, others arrive. And it was announced that Marcus Louis and Sylvester LaFour of NXT fame have signed with TNA, as well as Cherry Bomb. She has signed with TNA.
There were two other talents, and if TNA's website actually worked, I would tell you who the other two talents were. But anyway, yeah, the big names are Marcus Louis and Sylvester LaFour, as they were known in WWE, coming to WWE.
LaFour looks weird bald.
Yeah, he does.
He looks really weird. It took me a second to realize it was him. I was like, wait a minute. Who I think that... Yeah, that is who I think that is. Okay, alright.
You mentioned Cherry Bomb. Pepper Parks. They're married, so they're both now in TNA as well. And Marsh Rocket, Mr. M80, is also signed with Impact Wrestling. Those are the five.
So go them.
Go then. Welcome to TNA Wrestling.
Best of luck to you.
Yes.
Ding!
I don't know. We liked Marcus Louis.
The Kane love child?
The Kane love child.
Yeah, Kane's love child.
He's growing out his hair again, so he's not the Kane love child anymore.
Aww. It was scary. He was the spitting image of Kane.
He was
he
for a
really
while.
He really was.
He really, really was.
It's like, holy crap.
Right?
I kind of want this. I have an idea. He could be Kane's son.
He really could.
Katie Vick.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, he really could.
I want to see him explain that one.
Anyway.
This is why we're not allowed to have nice things.
No.
Right
no,
here.
No. You know, yeah. Anyway.
Hey, you know what? He could always be Claire Lynch.
Anywho, I don't know where you want to take us now as you're bringing up Katie Vick and Claire Lynch. God, I thought I'd bring up our horrible things on this show.
Well, speaking of horrible things, I say we do the Blame Brents.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
You know, once again, one of these weeks, we're not going to have to play that sounder. One of these weeks.
One of the weeks. One of these
not
weeks.
This week.
Not this week. We actually have two Blame Brents this week. All right, let's start with this first one. Superstar Billy Graham is back in the company's good graces and was going to be signing at WWE Access this year in Dallas, but he suffered an injury doing free squats on a bench with a bone graft breaking and needing surgery and will not be able to travel to the show. That sucks.
Poor Billy Graham. I hope you feel better, man.
Yeah.
Because it's just like every other injury. It's just freak and random.
It is freaking random. Hunter sent him a message. He got his itinerary and he sent him back a message to Hunter. And Hunter's response was, "See you in Orlando." Meaning next year at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando.
But well, that was nice.
Yeah, so this is the first.
Hashtag blame Brent.
The second one is not 100% confirmed.
Well, it is, but what it is, who knows?
Yeah, nobody knows yet. On Monday Night Raw, during the dark match, Luke Harper was in the ring. He was beating up somebody. His knee bent weird, and he went down.
He was beating up Roman Reigns.
I was trying to be nice. He's beating up Roman Reigns. His knee went in a weird position. It gave out from him, and he immediately fell to the mat, screaming in pain and gripping his knee. He was quickly gotten out of the match, and he rolled the floor onto the floor and stayed on the floor through the entire rest of the match, which was only like 2 minutes. But still, he stayed on the floor, gripping his knee in pain. He was seen at one point cursing and slamming his fist against the mats on the floor. The trainers were with him. And then when it was time to go home, they had to help him to the back as he could not put any weight on his leg. WWE has not said yet what the injury is. Rumors are swirling as to what it could be. The general rumor is that it is a ACL tear.
Which would put him out 6 to 9 months.
A week before WrestleMania.
1 week before WrestleMania. 1 week before WrestleMania.
And what sucks about that is Bray Wyatt is supposedly slated to have a huge push in the summer, which Luke Harper would obviously benefit from, and now if he's not there, well, that's going to create some problems.
It's going to create some many, many problems. We saw it tonight on SmackDown. You need the four.
You need Luke.
He's the general.
He's the general. He's Bray's right-hand man. He helps to corral the other two kids, because Eric is off chasing butterflies, and Braun is trying to eat them. So Bray needs Luke to sort of corral those two, and Luke's not there.
Luke is not there, sadly. Luke is not a part of it, and he might not be a part of it for a while, which sucks. Which really, really sucks. I want to throw something out there. People on Reddit are interesting. We took a photo of Luke Harper training the next day after tearing his ACL. One, you took a picture of Luke Harper training. Great. In upstate New York, where they weren't. Two, didn't take a picture of his knee.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, if you're going to try and pass a picture off as Luke Harper training in the gym after he tore his ACL, get a picture of his leg.
It's not that hard. You move 5 feet to the right, you take your picture, you move on.
Who honestly takes one picture? Seriously, y'all.
Normal people.
Get your day together.
Only stalkers take more than one picture.
Shut up. Not a stalker.
No, that would make you a,
Hashtag blame Brent.
Oh, that got cut off. Never mind.
How would that make me a hashtag blame Brent?
It wasn't. I was going to say something else, but I got cut off by the sounder.
Okay, got it. Got it.
You got it
got
now.
It.
Got it.
Okay. We can't say that phrase on this show. We're trying to keep it PG.
Keep it PG. Keep it PG.
But
I censored myself. Thank you very much.
Going around that speed bump, we have some WrestleMania news that we need to talk about.
WrestleMania news? Let's talk about some WrestleMania news.
I feel like we need a sounder for it.
Oh, God. Okay. We're going to get there. Keep talking.
Next year. We'll do it for next year.
Keep talking.
So, first big announcement was that Stan Hansen was announced to be inducted into this year's Hall of Fame, so congratulations to him.
Yes, congratulations to him.
WWE has announced that they are doing their WWE Superstars for Hope, which is their charity auction. They have a lot of really wonderful things up for bid, including Lunch with the Wyatt Family. Whoever wins that, I hate you.
Which is up over $2,000 at this point.
They're expensive.
Wyatts are expensive.
Wyatts are expensive, but it's worth it because it's Bray Wyatt. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts it's Chad Dukes that wins.
I don't think it's Chad Dukes that wins.
I'm calling my shot. It's going to be Chad Dukes.
I think it's going to be too expensive for Chad Dukes.
He's got that radio money, though, man. He's Chad Dukes.
I understand this. But other people need to be a part of the experience other than Chad Dukes.
I would like to be a part of the experience. I just can't afford it.
I know.
Anyway, they have a lot of really great items up for bid. If you want to check it out, go to www.charitybuzz.com.
Yes. And here's your sounder. WrestleMania music. As we talk about it.
What WrestleMania is this?
This was the older WrestleMania themes. Then taken over by Linda McMahon.
I was going to say... I know this music.
They used this from the earlier WrestleManias, all the way up to, like, WrestleMania 11.
Okay. Fifth Harmony will be performing America the Beautiful at WrestleMania this year, so go them.
For those who do not know, they were the winners back in 2012 of the X Factor USA.
Whoop whoop.
You know it.
USA has announced WrestleMania Week this coming week, in which... they will be featuring multiple events, so tell the people about it.
So, including multiple events, SmackDown next Thursday night will have live cut-ins, as I usually do from WWE Access, a part of it. Coming up on Sunday, WrestleMania Sunday, at 6 p.m. Eastern. If you do not have the WWE Network, why don't you? It's free WrestleMania this month. Get it.
What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? Get the WWE Network. Stop being cheap. You know who you are. You know who you are. Anyway, if you do not have it, but you have the USA Network, live, 6 p.m. Eastern, the kickoff show, featuring the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, will be a part of the event. Which is awesome. It's back to the days of Sunday Night Heat, which would air on the USA Network before WrestleMania. So, WrestleMania, the kickoff show, will all be on the network and USA Network, along with YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and all the other outlets. That's cool. More people will buy the pay-per-view. It means more money for WWE. They will also be airing the WWE Hall of Fame on a Thursday, you know, after SmackDown. But that's when the Rack's on, so DVR that. They'll air the one-hour edition of the Hall of Fame. Next week on the WWE Network, it's also WrestleMania week. They have a variety of things planned, including... the Daniel Bryan, thank you Daniel Bryan, the WWE 24 special on Monday night, Stone Cold podcast, Hall of Fame, TakeOver, the ride along with Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns will be on next week as well. So check it all out. A lot of stuff coming from WWE on the USA Network and WWE Network. Speaking of WrestleMania week, stay tuned to WildTalkRadio.com tomorrow evening. So we'll have a big announcement regarding our WrestleMania week.
Yes. Big announcement. Huge announcement.
So all the
it's almost like it's been painted before you. In a picture. Pretty picture. Yeah, okay. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Anyway.
Is that all the WrestleMania news we got?
No. We have one more.
Okay.
And this is going to be fabulous. I cannot wait for the Hall of Fame because speaking of it, we have found out who is inducting the Fabulous Freebirds.
Who's that?
It's a New Day. Yes, it is. I want to see who outdresses who. We know Hayes is going to pimp it up. I want to see what New Day does.
How outrageous will the New Day go? Or will they be toned back and letting Michael Hayes get the spotlight? You never know. You got to tune into the WWE Hall of Fame. only on the WWE Network.
I want to walk off.
I want to watch them walk the red carpet together.
It's going to be amazing.
They are also doing the red carpet hosted by Byron Saxton and Maria Menounos an hour before the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yes. And speaking of WrestleMania, one last little note, and this is for more general, so you can stop the music if you want to stop it. A story is a brewing. We don't know what's going on yet. Nobody really knows anything. But Daniel Bryan has been mysteriously pulled from all appearances going forward in the foreseeable future. This includes WrestleMania Access.
And house shows this weekend where they were supposed to do 3 Daniel Bryan Appreciation Nights in New York, Washington, and Trenton, New Jersey. He's been pulled from all 3 shows. And the UK tour.
Yes, and the UK tour. So it's very, very questionable as to what's going on with Bryan. Bray was not at TV this week, so people are speculating what it could be. But nothing has been reported yet, so I hope everything is okay for Bryan and Bray. I hope nothing bad has happened, and that it's all sunshine and kittens.
I have a feeling we'll be reporting more on the story here in the next week or so.
Probably.
You know, there's something. Something's brewing. Because the thing is, he was just with WWE on the 14th in Pittsburgh for the Connors Cure charity stuff. And now he's off stuff. It's like, what happened? What's going on? What actually went down with Daniel Bryan? Is he still part of the company? Or is it just a family issue? We don't know the deal.
Nobody knows what's going on.
They really don't.
It's just he has been pulled from everything. And WWE has not indicated why. And Daniel Bryan has not indicated why.
Yeah, I was talking with someone earlier today, and they're trying to find out the story. They have nothing solid on the story just yet. So hopefully when people do, we'll hear more about it.
And we'll keep our ear to the ground and let you know as soon as we hear anything on the show.
It's what we do.
It's what we do.
We are journalists, after all.
We are. So, last but certainly not least, the other big story of the week, and I've been kind of saving this one, because we talked about it last week. Get your sounder ready. It's time to talk Hogan versus Gawker. Really? You had to play it twice?
I forgot, because I had the WrestleMania theme on loop. I forgot I had it on loop. My bad.
So professional. He is the master of the play button. He can be a jerk anytime he wants. There it is. I was waiting for it. So, Hogan versus Gawker. This trial has been a complete and utter cluster from start to finish. It provided hours of entertainment for him and I when I was at work as we were making jokes, inappropriate jokes, back and forth over Skype. But sadly, or not so sadly, it has come to an end as we reported last week, or as it got announced last week, because I don't think we actually talked about it.
Because it came out on Friday.
There was a decision made to unseal the FBI documents from the investigation that included Bubba the Love Sponge's testimony, which was missing from this trial because he refused to testify.
Mm-hmm.
And basically those documents indicate whether Hogan knew whether he was being taped or not.
Well, they prove he wasn't being taped, but it has a lot of text messages that he found out about it, and yes, a lot of different things.
Yeah, it basically has very incriminating evidence, but
Including the racial comments.
And at the time that the decision was made and the documents were unsealed, the jury had already gone into deliberations for Hogan, so they were not admissible in this case. And the jury proceeded to award Hulk Hogan a whopping $115 million in damages for what happened with Gawker. Now, Gawker has already indicated that they are going to countersue.
Appeal.
They're going to appeal.
Which, by the way, number one, they also awarded him a $25 million extra for punitive damages. So that racks it up to, what, $140 million?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in that ballpark. And number two, if Gawker appeals, they have to pony up $50 million. And whatever happens, if they lose that appeal, that 50 goes to Hogan.
But Gawker's already said they're going to, because basically the documents, I think, from the FBI overturn
Because they believe it was in Gawker's view, they believe it's a news story. Whether Hogan knew or anything like that, they believe it was a news story and they have the right to publish it. The jury, basically they watched the tape. God help that jury. God help that jury. And that was what sealed the deal for him. They watched the tape. They knew Hogan had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
So that sealed the case for them. Hogan, I don't think Hogan will lose the appeal. He went on The View and said it wasn't about the money. It was about, you know, being proven right and, you know, he had nothing to do with it, yada, yada, yada. For Gawker, it's like, this was a news story. We had to cover it. It's what he bent in their mind. Even if he did not put it out, he benefited from it because he talked about it everywhere, on interviews, etc., etc. It's like, I guess in a way he benefited from him, but it ruined his reputation. Basically, the racial comments did, the actual physical act of in the tape did not.
Well, the thing is it's like, at the time that it was filmed, he did not know he was being filmed, but he found out shortly after, I think. And that's what the FBI documents prove. Is when Hogan found out about the tape, and it was well before Gawker ever got their hands on it.
He saw it, he heard about it, he never saw it. First time he saw it was when the picture started leaking of the still.
But there's a difference between seeing it and knowing about it.
He found out about it when Gawker started putting it out.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah.
Because if he knew it in advance, obviously that takes away any expectation of privacy, because at that point he was well aware and it's not any type of violation. But if he didn't know until Gawker put it out, and that can be proven that he didn't know, well...
Right. Basically, what was in the those 2,000 pages, there were a lot of text messages between the two. Basically, Hogan going, why? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do this? And Bubba not really saying why.
Money.
Money. Always. Always. It's always about money.
Let's be real. It's money.
And that was one of the things they were trying to prove, is that Hogan and Bubba were in on it, and they're not.
Hogan wasn't in on it. Bubba was. Bubba and the wife were.
Oh, yeah.
But Hogan was not.
Right, but the idea was Hogan and Bubba were the ones who put it out, and that's the whole thing. And they're not. But yeah, that's the case. $140 million. He won't ever see any of that money. He'll probably see some of it, but not all of it. He will never see $140 million, because I don't think anyone has that money. I don't think Gawker has that money. I don't think the dude AJ has that money. And I don't think Delario has the money as well. Or Denton. AJ Delario and Nick Denton, I don't think they have the money either. Because one of them's like bankrupt. So I know he doesn't have the small judgment they put against him.
Well, they're going to find out.
That's why this $50 million appeal. We'll see what happens.
Which means more hours of entertainment. And with that, I say we go to our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about last night's exciting NXT. We'll let you know what happened there. And don't forget, because later coming up in the show is Vic Travaliante. There we go. Travaliante. My tongue does not want to work right now. Sorry, Vic. I'm so sorry. I told you I would screw it up. Travaliante. There we go.
The voice of House of Hardcore coming up later in the program. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Word. As we go to break.
Yes. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually
engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you. In the form of the Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack on Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And don't forget to check out the very fine folks over at Gerwick.net. If you are just joining us, you missed our long but fun news segment. And don't forget, coming up in the show, we have Vic Travagliante, the voice of House of Hardcore. He will be coming up in our next segment, so you don't want to miss that. But for right now, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Seamus, St. Patrick spotted watching the Dublin parade over hashtag KFC. Colonel Patrick? And it shows an old man in side glasses watching the parade over the KFC. The Iron Sheik. Happy spring and go fuck yourself. Shame us. Shame us? Let me oblige hashtag the new day. We fully intend to shame you. Hashtag raw, hashtag new day sucks. Somebody tweets Kevin Owens and goes, my mom said you need a haircut. Tell her something. And Kevin replies, she's right.
I did mention this to you, that he needs a haircut.
He's starting to look like a chia pet.
Now she's just stealing my material.
Brain.
It's not one brain. This is downright stealing my material. I said this an hour and a half ago.
Damn right. So anybody else tweets Kevin Owens and... it's a riddle.
Ready? Ooh, a riddle. Okay.
I'm cold, calculated, and like to hit people with cannonballs. Who am I? Kevin Owens goes, a pirate? The Iron Sheik. Only mayor who eat the cheeseburgers and smoke the crack. R.I.P. Rob Ford.
That made a news channel, apparently.
Yes, it did. He was so proud.
He was proud.
It was kind of adorable. Somebody tweets Sheamus and goes, hanging out at Raw last night. Hashtag League of Nations. Came out at WWE Sheamus, it's Philadelphia. And Sheamus replies, they should rename it Philadelphia, in fairness. So congratulations, you live in hashtag Philadelphia.
Yay.
And finally, Sheamus, thank you, WWE Makeup Divas, for making me the most handsome man on the WWE roster. And in parentheses, it goes Dolph taking a selfie behind me. And in the picture, it's Sheamus flexing his muscles with the makeup lady. And behind him is Natty taking a selfie.
So I got.
That's all I got.
Patton Oswalt. I bet the hashtag Hulk Hogan jury initially began their verdict against him, but then Hulk started the whole shaking slash holding his finger up thing. Probably. Bailey. I hear Sasha Banks, WWE is giving out hugs at I Play America. Wish I was in line. Sasha replied, can you not? Thanks.
The girl romance continues.
It does. Keep it 5-star. Stefan Raw. Yeah, it's just Kevin Owens. Triple H on the phone. Tell him I said hi!
Yes.
Ziggler, congratulations, Zack Ryder. Your hard work finally paid off. Good luck at WrestleMania. Second place is still pretty good. Hashtag Raw. Zack Ryder replied, thanks, heel Ziggler. There's a bunch of these, almost 20,000, somewhere in my parents' house. And it was the DZ Zack Ryder sticker thing they had made up for a couple years ago. Still has about 20,000 of them.
At his parents' house.
Brian Myers, the Kurt Hawkins. I love that Zack Ryder is WrestleMania bound. Much deserved. Win, broski, win! Zack Ryder. Whoa! Find those foam orange fists in your attic, because I'm going to WrestleMania! Let's see. Keep it 5-star. Bro, you're not going to believe what Mr. McMahon said about your Hell in a Cell match on Raw, to quoting Kane. Hornswoggle, big congrats, Zack Ryder. WrestleMania could be made even better with the return of the one-legged tights. Give the people what they want. In reply to the Zack Ryder tweet by Kurt Hawkins, Kevin Owens replied, jerk. Hornswoggle replied, oh man, the Kurt Hawkins is so torn right now. He replied, I'm torn. Sad face. Owens replies, at least I know which side you're on. Meaning Hornswoggle. He's on Fight Owens Fight. Someone tweeted Chris Jericho, I love to see that at WrestleMania, quoting Michael Cole, well, I won it. I'm over it, said this person. Chris Jericho replied, well, then you should be able to get over your stupid face. Keep it 5-star. With Emma back, this furthers my theory that Dana Brooke died facing Asuka and is now a ghost. Only Emma sees her. Dana is the great Gazoo. Fake ESPN. Alex Rodriguez announced he'll retire after 2017 season. This is a major blow to the PED dealers everywhere. Gregory Shane Helms. I just turned on the air conditioning in my truck and pollen came out of the vents. So in essence, I just got bukkakeed. Hashtag bad morale. SoCalVal tweets, Shane McMahon trains harder than I shop. That, my friend, should scare the living bejesus out of you. It does me. Hashtag Shanomania. Hashtag RIP Taker. Someone tweeted SoCalVal, you should join WWE, Val, if only to save $9.99 a month, right? I mean, it really adds up. And that's Tweet of the Week.
And now we're going to talk about NXT.
Now we are here to talk all about this exciting edition of NXT. Which started with the Drifter and Johnny Gargano. We want Johnny Chance, or Johnny Wrestling Chance. Drifter's toughest challenge to date. We actually saw some wrestling out of the Drifter. He went for the knee at one point, got rolled up for 3 counts. So the winning streak of the Drifter, Elias Sampson, is over. As Johnny Gargano picked the win.
And he was not happy about
The Drifter was not happy. His first loss, he attacked Gargano after the match, laid him out with a neckbreaker, beat him up on the outside, gave another knee on the outside by the other side of the ring. Cruz comes out and makes the save. We had a stare down between the Drifter and Apollo Crews. So could we be seeing this matchup in the future? Apollo Crews and the Drifter.
We could be. It's entirely possible.
It was nice to see the Drifter actually have a match with someone as a real competitive match, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
unlike,
it was.
Unlike previous matches?
Well, it's really hard to gauge someone when all they do is squash matches. And I get you want to get him over and you want to build him up, and that's the easiest way to make him look strong. And I don't have a problem with that. But if you keep doing just squash match after squash match, which is essentially what they did with the Ascension, it's really difficult to gauge what they're really capable of. So it's nice that when you finally put them up against that competition that they maybe hit a little bit of a roadblock because it's like, oh, thank God they're human. But it helps to build that character because we see Samson's reaction. To it where he's super pissed and he's ready to murder somebody for it.
And it's one thing if those matches, the squash matches, were actually entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
His matches were boring.
You're okay.
They were boring. Did nothing. He lulled the crowd to sleep. He did. I'm not going to sugarcoat it one. It was boring. The Drifter drifted me to sleep. This time I was wide awake for his match. Because Gargano was good.
Yeah. Well, it's Gargano. I mean, come on.
Speaking of people who are good, Finn Balor. He took on Rich Swann. Finn Balor controlled. Swann tried to make a comeback. Cut off. Finn hit his dropkick. Double stomp. And the Bloody Sunday. For the win. Good match to put Finn Balor on a good match to showcase the world. Not even. I don't think they call him world champion. To feature the champion, Finn Balor.
Yeah, it's a nice little warm up for him for Dallas. He looked strong. He looked great. I thought this was a nice little match right here.
It was a nice little match. We had Emma and Dana talking about Emma's upcoming match with Asuka. They've done a lot of training since. They've scouted Asuka. They're ready for Asuka. I'll believe it when I see it.
I don't think anybody's really ready for Asuka.
Bailey better be.
Oh, yeah, Bailey better be, but...
Then we had the evil Sparkle Fairy, Alexa Bliss, taking on Sarah Dobson. First question, what was Sarah Dobson wearing?
I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet.
You had a day. You should have been able to figure this out.
It's some kind of post-apocalyptic...
All I know is we saw a lot of ass cheek at one point.
But she's got a cute ass, so...
I didn't say anything was wrong with it. I'm just saying, pointing out the facts.
Hashtag fact.
Hashtag fact. Anyway, Bliss was in control for a while. Dobson fought back with a nice big kick. And then came off the top row with an awkward, awkward crossbody. The announcers were saying, they hit her with a knee. No, it was an awkward crossbody. Murphy moved Bliss out of the way of a running knee attack. Bliss would then hit her flip stomp and then the sparkle splash for the win. Evil Sparkle Fairy wins.
Go, Alexa. This was a nice little match, too.
It was. A little sloppy, a little chunky, but it was good.
I think they were trying to get used to each other.
Yeah.
And Sarah might have been a little nervous. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it was a nice match. I enjoyed it.
It was fine. Samoa Joe was focused on TakeOver and taking out Finn Balor. So much so, he attacked both Danny Burch and Bull Dempsey.
Poor Bull. Bull.
We get one more week of Bull as announced next week. Samoa Joe takes on Bull Dempsey.
And he's going to die.
He's really going to die.
But he can come back to life for House of Hardcore. April 15th and 16th. Ding!
Joe screened for Balor, and he will take his championship. We had a nice video package hyping up Jordan and Gable. They showed off their amateur careers and how they made a team.
It was a nice video. I don't know what else to really say on it, other than it was a nice video.
It was a very nice video. We got a teaser for No Way Jose. No Way Jose. I've been watching Fuller House. Reminds me of Full House. No Way Jose.
I'm thinking that's probably where it comes from. Is it really wrong? I want it to be the Jeff Dunham puppet, Jose Jalapeno.
Not wrong. It won't be.
I know, but it just... They have other puppets. I'm just saying. They have Frog Balor and Frog Bailey, so why not?
Someone created that. That's kind of awesome.
That's amazing.
Next week, it'll be Alex Riley and Apollo Crews for those wanting to see that match. Rage. All the rage.
Quiet rage. Relaxed rage.
Rage.
Rage. We then had our main event, Emma and Asuka. This was good.
This is great. This was absolutely great.
Asuka was coming out strong early. She sent her off that with a hip attack, sending her downside. We went to break. The whole match was about Emma trying to survive Asuka.
It's about Emma trying to beat Asuka.
Well, no. Survive. Because the first half, she was just trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Emma would finally take over. She countered an ankle lock. Dana would interfere. Asuka would make her come back, hit the spinning back elbow. There was, Emma would duck some kicks, but would like get caught with some hard shots. Emma would got a cover, use the feet on the ropes, referee saw it, Asuka went for a kick, Emma ducked, ankle lock into the German, into the kick, into the Asuka lock. You're a winner. Asuka.
Yay! So you have your number one contender for your women's title looking strong. You had all the people that you needed to look strong look good. I like this. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good show.
We are a little bit over a week now from NXT TakeOver Dallas, which we'll preview fully next week on the show.
Yeah, just to warn everybody in advance. And I guess now's a good time to, you know, spill the beans, because we didn't talk about it in the first half of the show. Like, we probably should have. Sorry, we're slackers. We have a contest that we didn't even announce. What is wrong with us? We're bad hosts. We are terribly awful bad hosts.
We did announce it last week.
Yeah, but we need to remind the peoples.
Okay. Let's remind the peoples. We'll remind them later, but we'll remind them now.
So peoples, we have a contest for you. As you know, we have the Pick'em Challenge every pay-per-view. But this time, because it's WrestleMania and we just happen to have it, we have a prize for you. The very gracious, amazing, awesome people over at DK Publishing have provided us with a prize of the brand new John Cena book.
Hustle, loyalty, respect, the world of John Cena.
It's a fabulous coffee table book. Retail price is anywhere, I believe, right around $25 to $30, depending on your retailer.
The book says $25 US, $29 Canada, $39.99 in Australia.
Dude, they gouge in Australia.
$17.99 in the UK.
Aye!
But that's pounds, so you never know.
Yeah, that's pound sterling, so it's actually probably almost double what the dollar is. So, here's the thing. If you want to win, all you have to do is send us your picks for WrestleMania. We will be providing you with the tiebreakers next week on the WrestleMania show. So if you're interested in winning the book, tune in next week. We'll give you the full information then because we're still setting it all up. Here's the rules, okay? Just so everybody's clear.
First, one entry per person.
Yes, one entry per person. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show. You can Facebook us, wildtalkradio.com.
No.
Or group/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hold on. Let me redo that. Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show.
See, he does all the plucks.
And you can get all this information on wildtalkradio.com. I'm reading my rule sheet.
Yes. But just telling the people, because sometimes people don't read and they need to hear it.
You can email us, media@wildtalkradio.com.
Yes. I have one more thing.
I have five ways to enter.
Ooh, five ways.
You can be a part of a live show experience and post your picks during the prediction segments in our chat room as our intern will collect the picks.
Is our intern going to be there to collect the picks?
He's been put on notice.
Okay,
but
so intern.
But the best way is to do it on the Facebook group. Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Yeah, if you do it in the chat the night that we're making the predictions, please email them to us as well, media@wildtalkradio.network, and say that you put it in the chat.
That way we have them. And it's media@wildtalkradio.com. Get it right.
I'm sorry I'm distracted. Media@wildtalkradio.com. I can't talk tonight.
The deadline to enter is Sunday at 3 p.m.
Yes.
And the WrestleMania Pick'em Challenge begins Sunday at 10 on Russell Talk Radio.
Yes. So, one other thing, because I've been trying to get this out and he keeps cutting me off. So, one other thing.
So, one more thing I need to tell you.
I'm going to just throw something at your face.
Oh, and I haven't wanted to do that for how many hours now?
This is like the first 5 minutes we started talking. It's a personal goal at this point to just make him want to throw things the second we get on the phone.
Yes. Anyway.
So, if you live in North America, that's Canada, United States, or Mexico, including Puerto Rico.
Oh, we're including Puerto Rico. Okay.
It's a protectorate of the United States, so, you know, and it's close. So, if you live in any of those places, shipping is covered by us. You win the book, we'll ship it to you for free. You just have to give us your address and we will get it to you. Please allow
a few weeks.
A few weeks, because I got to get to the post office.
Or in my case, a few months to get you a book.
Yeah. So, it's depending on... Well, we can get to the post office to get it. We're not.
It's a challenge.
I have a day job, so it's a challenge. If you live international, And if you want to enter for the book, please indicate on your pick that you are international and whether or not you want to be entered for the book. Because we'll take all picks, but if you do live internationally outside of that zone, indicate whether or not you do want to win the book. If you do want to win it, you have to cover your own shipping. And what we'll do is we'll contact you and we will work that out between us when the time comes. Okay? Is everybody clear on that? Because we want to open this up to everybody, but international shipping can get expensive, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, couple more things. Number one, go to wildtalkradio.com right now. You can read the official rules. Number two, you can check out my review of the John Cena book now at wildtalkradio.com. Number three, you can check out my article about Sasha Banks and Charlotte and Becky Lynch and how they should be showcased at WrestleMania. All available at the all-new WildTalkRadio.com.
Well, they're doing their best to showcase them because they're all over the advertising materials and they're up front and center in a lot of them, so...
Oh, I know, but I have an idea for them. Go read it, WildTalkRadio.com.
But not right now because we're doing the show. Because, well, you should be excited because we're headed to break. Our final break of the evening. Because, yes, he's here. The man, Vic Trevigliante. We'll be joining us next, where we are talking all things House of Hardcore, NFL, and so much more. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right.
How
the
fellas
just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, no. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing. And we'll just have to wait.
Most Matadores versus the real American. You all pick.
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it. I see them too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I'd seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked Brie. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh my god! Get out! Get out!
I believe you changed to
the Rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming, just like. Bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Dead man walking.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. And also check out the fine folks over at Gerwick.net. We are both super excited because we're about to get a little hardcore with you. Because joining us right now is the voice of House of Hardcore, Vic Travagliante. How are you doing today?
Doing very good. Thank you guys for having me on. And I'm very honored to actually be on because you guys were one of the shows that I was just going through my phone while traveling on the road and came across and just started playing them. That's one of the, I guess, the luxuries of traveling by car everywhere. You get to listen to different podcasts. So you guys were definitely one that I highlighted, and I'm very happy to be on with you guys.
Well, we are super thrilled about that. I can't tell you, it was so sweet of you to tweet that to us. That was just, that made my day. I know it made Rock's day too. And we're thrilled to have you on and be talking everything House of Hardcore and everything wrestling. But I have to know a little bit about you. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got involved with wrestling in general and House of Hardcore?
Sure. You know, I'm 30 years old for those that, like, this is a dating site. I feel like I'm on Match.com. I'm giving me one of those profile videos. But I'm 30. I live in Cleveland. I've always lived in Cleveland my whole life. I went to college like most young adults do. In college, I won a national championship playing basketball. And my career goal always was to do something in broadcasting. If you've seen any of the YouTube House of Hardcore updates I've done, or you have found me on Twitter at Trav923, I'm not the biggest guy. I'm about 6'3 and a 170 if I'm soaking wet. So tall and lanky is, I guess, the nice description of me, and I'm allergic to the weight room is what my coach always told me when I was playing in college.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's what I told him too. So I've been a big fan of wrestling my whole life. Shawn Michaels is by far my favorite wrestler. AJ Styles is my second favorite wrestler. And ironically, I've been able to call a couple AJ Styles matches, including one against Kevin Steen, now known as Kevin Owens in the WWE, which is one of the highlights of things that I've done. And my third favorite wrestler is probably Billy Gunn, who he is debuting at the upcoming House of Hardcore shows in Queens and in Philly in the middle part of April, on April 15th and 16th. So, my whole life has been about broadcasting and doing that. I've called NCAA tournament games. I've been a part of Major League Baseball. I've worked covering the Summer Olympics. I've been contracted by CB, B as in boy, CBS Broadcasting, which I think is the biggest broadcasting company in America. I've been in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns Network most recently and hoping to come back this fall. And all that led me to a career in pro wrestling, which was always kind of like that dream job or the sprinkles on the ice cream. And I've been with House of Hardcore since the very first show back in Poughkeepsie, New York in 2012. And the only way I got on that show is I jumped in a car with Rhino, for those that know him. And we went to Tommy Dreamer's house and Tommy said, "Hey, I'm going to have you call the matches tonight." And I kind of was caught off guard a little bit, but was excited at the same time. And ever since that little meeting we had over some coffee and donuts in Tommy Dreamer's house, I have been with House of Hardcore ever since. And the only performer outside of Tommy Dreamer to have appeared on all previous 11 shows, including the upcoming three, the two we already mentioned, the one in Canada. I also hosted HOH TV, seen in over 30 countries, and the only person to call every match for HOH TV, along with some other matches we had already called with Matt, but due to some technical difficulties, we couldn't redub them. And then, of course, Danny Doring, known as Dan Morrison on the show, called the rest of them. So I am very deeply rooted in HOH and do appreciate all the messages I get from fans and you guys for taking time to allow me to come on here and talk about the House of Hardcore brand.
Now, you kind of had a bit of a trouble because as you were pursuing this dream from just our conversation before we kind of started the interview, you mentioned that you've been in a car wreck in 2012 and you had to take speech therapy to kind of find your way back. I mean, what was that like?
It's a message to all those people out there, wear your seatbelt. I was actually in the back seat and the bed of a truck came off, detached from the front part of the truck, came over the median and hit the car I was in head on. We were on 75 north, or heading north on I-75 in the western part of Ohio, almost into Michigan, for those that are listening. And I went from the back seat to the front seat, back into the back seat. My left kneecap was ripped out. I'd have a couple surgeries to kind of put the kneecap back in, not to get too graphic. I had internal bleeding. I had a severe concussion. And with all that, it actually was my 7th or 8th documented concussion because of college sport and having suffered a few playing football in high school. So when I finally came to and started, you know, moving around and getting going, people would ask me simple questions and I couldn't answer them. I didn't know what a shopping bag was. I knew what it was, but I couldn't say it. So I was like very frustrated and people could tell. And they made the decision to send me to speech therapy, which I did in Tiffin, Ohio, and had to basically have them read something to me. And then I had to recite back certain things and certain key phrases of stories and start reading things, and really was from the ground up and being in the business that I was in of being a broadcaster with, and this was before CBS and before the Browns and before wrestling and before all that stuff. I really had to, it kind of was a scary moment for me actually. Mm-hmm. And then coming out of that, that spring, I signed with CBS Broadcasting. I don't know how, I just, something fell into place and it was like, hey, we want to have you come on here finally. And I clicked out of it and, you know, lo and behold, I'm here talking to you right now.
That's an amazing story. And that just goes to show that anything's possible. You know, you were in this horrific car accident. You couldn't speak, but you found your way back. You fought your way back to really achieve your dream. It's truly inspirational.
It's, you know, and there's a lot of people that helped me along the way. And I don't want people to, you know, take this like, oh my God, he couldn't talk. I mean, I could say little things, but it was more my memory and more putting sentences together and sentences turning into paragraphs and holding information and then, you know, spitting it back out. And it was definitely a scary road for about six, 8 weeks, maybe about 2 months. And that's after I got, that's after I like got out of the accident, which took about a month or so. So it was a pretty frightening 3 months, to be honest, that I didn't know what my future was going to be and if there was even going to be a future. And actually, if you see me now, if anyone ever meets me in person, I still have a scar on my face from them having to pull out shards of glass the left side of my cheek, which a little note, if you ever watch me, you always see the right side of my face. By the way, if you go back watch those HOH updates, you never see the left side of my face, and that's a little peek behind the curtain as to why.
Ah, so you're like Harvey Dent.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, you never know, though. You and I have never met. You know, we could meet one time, and you can be like, oh my, this is Harvey Dent.
Well, just don't go crazy on us, okay?
I'll try not to.
Don't pull the thing. So you go from a car accident to working for CBS and working for the Browns and being in the NFL to getting on with House of Hardcore. And again, just from our previous conversation, you actually mentioned that you got an offer to go even bigger. You got an offer to work for the NFL, to cover the Browns for them, and you mm-hmm. turned it down because you wanted to follow this dream of professional wrestling.
Yeah, I had completed my two-year contract with CBS and my two-year seasonal contract with the NFL in regards to the Cleveland Browns. And at that point, this was actually last spring, almost a year ago, we had a show coming up in Toronto, for those that follow House of Hardcore, at the Ted Reeve Arena. And we were going to announce that we had HOH TV signing with the Fight Network, which was a big deal to us. And I still think it's a big deal. You know, that put us through Canada, that put us a little bit here in America domestically, and it put us in over, you know, 25, 26 countries around the globe. And I sat with in my meeting with CBS, and I told them that I wanted to do this wrestling. And they basically said, well, we can't give you an out to do wrestling. And I said, thank you for the opportunity. I'd love to stay on if you ever need me in a pinch, which I still work for them time to time. And I basically walked away from a full-time contract with CBS, which people still call me crazy for doing, but to pursue a job in wrestling to show my loyalty to House of Hardcore, to show my loyalty to Tommy Dreamer.
And I'm sure Tommy appreciated that, as did everybody else involved with House of Hardcore, because that's...
Yeah, Tommy probably wouldn't go on the record and say that, though, because he wouldn't want anything... that I could go back and play for him over and over again and be like, oh, you really are a swell guy, and give him a hug because he's not that emotional about that sort of thing. But I'm sure deep down Tommy is appreciative, and I'm very appreciative to him.
We'll talk about Tommy and we'll talk about House of Hardcore in a minute, because you keep mentioning, sure. We keep mentioning the Browns and we keep mentioning the NFL, and you're a big Cleveland fan, and you'll mm-hmm. have to forgive me because I'm an Atlanta fan. My producer's a Philly yeah. fan. We get into mm-hmm. it all the time. So.
Well, it is what it is. I feel bad for him. Being a Philly fan, I feel good for him now, but I look at Philly and say, ooh, Doug Peterson, he quarterbacked the Browns at 2-14. And then I think, oh, Chip Kelly, and everyone here in Cleveland wanted Chip Kelly so bad, except for me, because I didn't buy into the hype. But yeah, I do feel his pain a little bit.
Yeah, it was a good call they didn't sign him. But mm-hmm. obviously, the big story, and I'm sure you're sick of talking about it or hearing about it, but just kind of for the general audience, because we're not in Cleveland, but what's the general feeling with Johnny Manziel and his sudden departure and kind of the vacuum that's left? Because obviously he was viewed as the savior of the Browns, and he turned out to be not so much.
Oh, he was definitely seen as the savior by a lot of fans. I think, though, the writing was on the wall. When you have so many opportunities and have given so many second chances and third chances and fourth chances, and you just don't grow up. My personal belief is Johnny Manziel wants to be an adult. He wants to be a professional. He does want to succeed in the NFL, but there's the majority part of Johnny Manziel that still wants to live that college lifestyle, that still wants to go out with his buddies and have the hangover the next day and then do it again. And I don't blame him for that. He's Johnny Manziel. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He's the first freshman to do it. He still has guaranteed monies coming his way from the Cleveland Browns, but at some point his friends will grow up. At some point, the people that he surrounds himself with will leave, and they will grow up, and then he'll have to look himself into the mirror, and he'll have to realize that he allowed all these great opportunities to slip through his hands. I mean, if he would have taken the Browns to a 7-9 record like Brian Hoyer did a few years ago, they'd been building statues of right. Johnny Manziel. You know, if he would have had them in the playoffs, they would have been building statues. They would have been naming babies after him. Johnny Manziel, whatever the last name would be. And he threw it all away. I think he is a very good player. I don't necessarily know if he will succeed. I don't necessarily know if he was worth a first round pick. But I do hope more for, and I've said this on air when the last time I think I hosted for CBS in January, I do hope not for Johnny Football, the persona, but for Johnny Manziel, the person, that he gets it together, because this goes, his troubles go a lot deeper than a football game. We're talking about a person's life. We're talking about someone spiraling out of control. So for him, I hope that he figures it out, and that whatever he figures out, he just gets on the right path.
Do you think him signing with Drew Rosenhaus is going to help him at all? Or
I think him signing with Drew Rosenhaus is going to help him maybe get a chance in the NFL again. It's who you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with bad influences, you're just continuing to, go down a hill. I hope Drew talks to him and says, I am your last chance. You have to do this. Everyone else is distancing themselves from you. Your friends, your prior agent, even LeBron James's marketing company said goodbye. A professional franchise who would basically hire anybody to come here to play for because they just lost so many people, they just gave up on, and they have nothing in the cupboard. You were like the last clean glass in the cupboard. You know what? They just said, let's throw it away. So I think hiring Drew is a good way of getting himself back in the NFL. I just hope Drew is telling him that he needs to clean up his act. He needs to clean his act up now. And by the TMZ reports, it certainly doesn't look that way.
Yeah, well, here's hoping he can turn himself around. I mean, it should be a wake-up call when your father goes on record and says, oh, yeah, we're worried he's going to be dead within a year, that he's not going to see 25. I mean, that should be a wake-up call right there, that your family doesn't even think you're going to make it. But apparently not. I mean, I think it's one of those situations that he has to decide he wants to get better.
I do too. And at the end of the day, we talk about surrounding yourself with the right people. Those are your decisions. Those are your personal decisions. So if Johnny wants to get better, it's because of Johnny. If Johnny wants to continue down the path that he's on, that's on Johnny as well.
Yep. And well, since Johnny's gone, there have been rumors swirling of who's going to take his place. Everybody knows that RG3 has left the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting enough that Colin Kaepernick went on record saying he wants to come to Cleveland. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's pretty odd that he would say that. I can tell you that Colin Kaepernick will not be a Cleveland Brown. They will not make a trade for Colin Kaepernick. They have soured on that. Colin, I believe, is soured on coming to Cleveland. RG3 was here in Cleveland just a few days ago, a week ago or so, and he apparently had a good conversation. So I think the likelihood of looking at those two, it's more likely that RG3 comes to Cleveland opposed to Colin Kaepernick. But then the big elephant in the room is the number 2 overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft. And do the Browns draft a quarterback? They go a different route. My personal belief is the Cleveland Browns have so many holes on this team. They don't have an elite receiver. Josh Gordon has not been reinstated, so we can't say that the Browns have him. They don't have a running back. They don't have a quarterback. They just lost two-thirds or two-fifths of their offensive line, and one of those guys is going to be Cam Irving replacing him, and that nothing to write home about. So basically they have no offensive line. The secondary is in shambles. They just lost one of their best players defensively into Sean Gibson, a free agency. Joe Hayden's coming off of ankle surgery. Their linebackers are a year older. They just got rid of their arguably their best player on defense, Carlos Dansby, who's a leading tackler. He's now gone. The defensive line couldn't stop the run last year, couldn't stop the run the year before that. It's a Swiss cheese defense because there's holes everywhere. It's really a Swiss cheese team. So the Browns in the draft need to focus on drafting the best player available, a safety, a linebacker, an offensive lineman. It doesn't matter. They need to take the best player to start putting talent on this team. And there's no secret the Browns are going to be garbage this upcoming season. Next year, they should have the number 1 pick in the draft. Next year's quarterback class, a lot better than this quarterback class. So if you bring in RG3, you can have him play for a year, and then maybe you don't need to get a quarterback. Or you can stay with Josh McCown. Josh McCown may be 37, 38 years old, but he had the highest quarterback rating of in the fourth quarter last year of over 102. He wasn't the reason you really lost your season. Yeah, he lost you a few games, but he kept you alive in some others. So for the Cleveland Browns, I think they draft the best player available at 2. And out of Colin Kaepernick and RG3, I believe they will choose RG3. And at the same time, part of me says they're not going to sign anybody. They're not going to draft a quarterback at number 2, and they're just going to stay with Josh McCown. So it's still a very fluid situation here in Berea.
Sounds like it. Oh, here's hoping they can get together. Is there anybody that you like in the draft right now or coming into the draft?
If I were the Browns, I would draft Jalen Ramsey at 2. He's a safety out of Florida State. And with pick 32, which essentially is another first-round pick, I would take Michael Thomas, if he's there, a receiver out of Ohio State. I'd pair him with Josh Gordon, who I do believe will get reinstated by the NFL. I have Brian Hartline then as a 3. I still have a very nice tight end, Gary Barnage, coming off Pro Bowl year. I'd run my offense through Duke Johnson, who's a second-year player coming to the Cleveland Browns out of Miami. I'd keep Josh McCown at quarterback. In the 3rd round, I draft the best offensive lineman that's available. Plug him in wherever to play, whether it's at center, guard, or tackle. Along with John Greco, I bring him back and make sure he's solidified on the right side. And then after that, you know, really in the fourth round, it's just a crapshoot. We have a lot of compensatory picks. I think one in the fourth, two in the fifth. Somewhere in there, you may be able to draft a quarterback, like maybe a Connor Cook falls or a Dak Prescott if you want to take a chance on him. I think you find the pieces that you need. The quarterback room now is Austin Davis, who played really well for St. Louis, not so well last year for the Browns. Josh McCown, who can at least hold the fourth down for another year. And then you got Connor Shaw, who you may be a little bit more familiar with down in Atlanta, who played at South Carolina a few years ago. And, you know, he's still on the roster. So I think they have a pretty decent quarterback room. And they have to remember, and if you're a Browns fan listening to this, please remember, they could get whoever they want at quarterback. They're still going to suck this season. So you might as well put the best pieces around that you can and get the best players you can around a quarterback and then go find that guy to come in.
Yeah, it's a rebuilding year. That's what you have to tell yourself sometimes. It's a rebuilding year.
Yeah, been telling myself since 99 that. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I hear it all the time.
Well, and that was awkward to begin with because the Browns left and then they reinstated the team after they left. So that was awkward.
It's been awkward and it's been bad since then.
Well, they're going to get it together. They're going to be great.
Yeah, I've heard that since 99 too. Yep.
You got to be positive.
Yeah. That's why, you know, that's why the Great Lakes Brewery is so successful here in Cleveland, Ohio, especially on Sundays.
Especially, yeah. Okay. Well, I say we transition away from football because don't want to dwell on that too long, but
let's talk about the real sports.
Let's talk about wrestling.
That's
because
right.
You have a show coming up April 15th and April 16th, but on
May 7th.
And May 7th, yes. Can't forget May 7th. So, on April 15th, you're having a huge debut at House of Hardcore as RVD is making his highly anticipated debut against Chris Hero. What are your thoughts on RVD coming to House of Hardcore?
I think it's great. I mean, you know, the one thing about House of Hardcore, not to sound cliche, is that it really isn't hard in theory to put together a wrestling show fans want to watch. Fans will tell you who they want to see. You then, in turn, try to get who they want to see. And then you put that person in position to give the fans who paid their hard-earned money the best show that you possibly can. And in return, hopefully they have a good time. And if they do, there's a very good possibility and a very good chance they're going to come back time and time again. House of Hardcore, we've sold out 2300 Arena a couple of times in Philly. We've sold out New York. We sold out when we went to California, set an attendance record in Toronto. Because the one thing that we've done is we've asked, where should we come to next? Who gives us the biggest response? Toronto. Where did we go? Toronto. And we ask fans, who do you guys want to see in House of Hardcore? And it takes a little bit of time to, you know, work out the proper dates, get the contracts ready, make sure that they're not on vacation. And finally, Rob Van Dam is coming to House of Hardcore on April 15th, taking on Chris Hero, which you mentioned. And these two have never faced each other before, to my knowledge.
I was going to say, it's being touted as the dream match.
Yeah, to my knowledge, they have never, ever faced each other. So I'm looking forward to that because, one, I've never worked with Rob Van Dam. This is someone who I watched when I was, you know, 12, 13 years old in ECW, going to the WWE Mr. Monday Night, beating John Cena in New York at One Night Stand, winning the WWE title. I mean, I remember all that stuff. So I'm very excited to be working and being able to say that I've called a Rob Van Dam match. And to have it against Chris Hero is someone who I respect a lot. He and I always talk about the Duke Blue Devils whenever we see each other, his favorite college basketball team. They're a unique athlete. He has the size, the power of heavyweight, but he's got the agility of a cruiserweight. I mean, he's very unique, just as unique as Rob Van Dam. So I think this is definitely a dream match. This match itself sells the show, but yet there's so much more on the card on April 15th when we return to Queens. But I'm looking forward to this match so much, and I know the fans are, because the response we got on Twitter and the response we got on Facebook and the responses I got personally sent to my pages was overwhelming. And they're obviously going to get a show on the 15th and then on the 16th when we come back to the arena.
I was going to say, because one of the other matches on the show, and you mentioned he was one of your favorites, is Billy Gunn is in a really kind of student versus teacher match where he's taking on Sammy Callahan.
Now, this one for fans, I think, kind of fills itself out, because I'm pretty sure if you're a wrestling fan, you have the WWE Network. You've watched Breaking Ground. You probably watched Tough Enough. You know of the New Age Outlaws. You know of Billy Gunn. And to see Billy Gunn come in and take on a guy like Sami Callihan, everyone has had that moment in life when you've had to go up against that person you learn from, or you've had a very close friend that has had to go up or compete against somebody that they knew very well. So this one touches home to a lot of fans, and I think fans are going to enjoy it. Sami Callihan actually making his return to House of Hardcore. He was a part of a couple of the earlier shows, taking on Rhino and taking on MVP. He'll take on Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn the next night takes on Bull James, a.k.a. Bull Dempsey, in the same type of situation of student versus teacher. And so it's very, very cool to know these guys a little bit. I've never met Billy Gunn personally, but I've worked with Sammy. I know Bull a little bit more now. To see these guys and to see their excitement and the fact that they want to go out and prove themselves to Billy Gunn. You know, they want to go out and prove themselves to the fans when they take on a talent like Billy Gunn, who could be a Hall of Famer one day. And in turn, Billy Gunn wants to go out there and show them, that being Sammy and Bull, that he can still hang with the young guys and that his time hasn't passed. And in doing so, he's also doing that to the fans. So a very unique situation. Two matches I'm looking forward to. It. And yes, working with Billy Gunn, I'm very excited. I do own a Mr. Ash shirt. I do own a 24-karat gold Mr. Ash shirt. And out of all the wrestling figures I've ever collected, I have every single one of Billy Gunn. That's how much of a fan I am of Billy Gunn.
That's impressive.
Huge fan.
That's really impressive.
And it's kind of funny because who I mentioned earlier, Rhino, he and I have gotten to know each other so well. He's actually the godfather to my son.
Oh, nice.
He's Rhino. And he's very close with Billy Gunn. So I'm sure I will be set up to fail when I go to say hi to Billy Gunn for the first time because Rhino would have told him some sort of false story that makes me look like an idiot.
Well, hopefully not. I'm crossing my fingers for you that doesn't happen.
You know, I appreciate it.
Here's hoping they don't do that. But another match or another show that's coming up, we mentioned the May 7th show, and it's huge news right now because Bobby Roode and Eric Young just left TNA. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. People are really up in arms about it. And you guys have them on your show May 7th. They're facing each other for the first time in Canada because it's going to be in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Do you think the outburst helps you guys or is it a little bit more nerve-wracking?
It has to because bad publicity is still good publicity. There's an old saying that way. Not that any of this is bad, but we're going to Canada. It's technically House of Hardcore 14, May the 7th. The Scotia Bank Center, part of the Mindy O experience. We're very excited to be partnered with Mindy O'Brien with the huge fitness extravaganza she's going to have in Niagara Falls, Ontario. And yeah, the main event, it's just ironic how things happen. These two guys walk away. They will face each other in the main event. This match actually was announced well before the news just came out about their most recent departures from TNA. And I'm looking forward to it now a little bit more than I was. To be honest with you, I take a look at both of these guys. I look at Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode, to me, is one of the best talent in professional wrestling. He has to be in everyone's top 10 going today. He does everything great. He's phenomenal. He's also, on top of that, a great guy to work with. I'm very happy to be back working with Bobby Roode. And when it comes to Eric Young, someone I've gotten to know a little bit more on a personal level over the last 6 months to a year, and you know how passionate these two guys are and their passion. When you work for some of those companies, and I've never worked there, so I could be completely wrong, but a professional wrestler is a painter, if you want to think about it in this analogy. And they go to work and they're told what to paint and how to paint it. When they come to House of Hardcore, when they come to Canada, when they go into that Scotia Bank Center in that main event at House of Hardcore 14, they're again painters with a blank canvas. And with that blank canvas, they're able to do whatever they want and tell whatever story they want to tell. And that's what I think is going to be so magical about that match on May the 7th. And